Diabetes Insights, Breakthroughs and Innovators. The EASD TV podcast from the annual meeting of the European Association for the Study of Diabetes.
Hello, you're watching EASD TV. My name's Vivian Parry, and this morning we're talking about STEP, HEF, PEF. And if you're not sure about HEF-PEF, we're going to explain what that is, but very important trial. And we have two cardiologists with us and a diabetologist. So don't say that we're not inclusive on EASD TV. We have on the diabetologist side, Melanie Davis, who's from the University of Leicester, Mark Petrie from the University of Glasgow, and Mikhail Kosiborod from St. Luke's Medicine Heart Institute of Kansas. I've got that right,
America,
I hope.
Yeah.
In America, yes. We guessed that. So, Mark, as our resident cardiologist, one of our two here, just tell us, first of all, HEF-PEF.
So HEF-PEF is heart failure with preserved ejection fraction. So this is the most common cause of heart failure. And the way it manifests is with the symptoms of heart failure. So things like breathlessness, fatigue, ankle swelling. But the problem in HEF-PEF is not with the contraction of the heart, but the relaxation of the heart. But the reason we're really keen to work with diabetologists is it's the most common cause of heart failure and seen especially in people with diabetes.
Mikhail, tell us a bit more about this whole trial suite, as it were, because you are the kind of the master of this all, the commander.
Well, it was a team effort, but the idea behind the trial was that we've been noticing for a long time that there's been relentless rise in this type of heart failure, where it was relatively uncommon 25 years ago, but it's now the most common type of heart failure. And that's been in parallel with the obesity epidemic. And we know that, at least in the United States, where I practice, about 80% of all people who have this type of heart failure also have overweight obesity. And so the idea was that perhaps obesity is not just something that accidentally happens to coexist in these people, but in fact maybe the cause of their heart failure to begin with. And so we did this series of trials testing the drug called semaglutide, which many people may know by the brand names of Ozempic and Wegovy, which we know is a highly effective medication for weight loss and also for type 2 diabetes. But the idea was that because of its effect on body weight and potentially other benefits, it may actually really help people who have a combination of obesity and this type of heart failure.
Now, most of the results have been published so far from the start. So just give us the headlines from what's already been done.
Sure. So in totality between these trials, we had more than 1,100 patients with this type of heart failure and obesity, and they were randomly assigned to either semaglutide once a week injection or a matching placebo. And the main endpoints that we measured in addition to body weight change in these trials was improvement in heart failure related symptoms and physical limitations. Now, keep in mind that symptoms, daily symptoms of heart failure is what is probably most important to patients because they have to live with these debilitating symptoms every day: breathlessness, exertional intolerance, swelling, that determines what they may be able to do every day, be able to go shopping in the supermarket, play with their grandchildren, go for a walk, and so on. And what we observed was the patients that were receiving semaglutide had a substantially larger improvement in their heart failure symptoms and physical limitations. That's actually the largest treatment benefit for heart failure symptoms and physical limitations that we've seen with any intervention so far in this type of heart failure. And there were a number of other benefits. People were able to exercise more. They actually were requiring less water medicines to treat their heart failure, and at least numerically, they actually were less likely to end up being hospitalized or go to the emergency department, even though the number of those events was relatively small.
Okay, so those are the headlines. Melanie, now let's turn to what you're going to present today, and from the diabetologist's point of view, what have been the benefits?
So I think the important thing in the study is that it was very inclusive of people living with diabetes. So we pretty much included anybody on any background medication, including insulin. The only people we excluded were people on insulin pump therapy. So I think that's really important from my perspective. We know in the diabetes study that patients lost relatively less weight than they did in people without diabetes. And we've seen that across a number of studies. but the benefits in terms of the heart failure benefits were the same. So that's really important. I think also what we also saw was that the rates of hypoglycemia were very low. These people started with actually reasonably good HbA1c at 6.8. We saw a reduction in HbA1c, but very low rates of hypoglycemia. So from a diabetes perspective, this is common in our patients. We don't often pick it up, but with semaglutide, not only did we improve their symptoms, their physical limitations, but we did that very safely with a benefit in weight, glycemic control, and low rates of hypoglycemia. Indeed, the severe adverse events were lower in the semaglutide group than in the placebo. And the data I'm going to be showing today really looks at whether the glycemic factors played into this. And it did seem that the benefits were independent of reductions in hyperglycemia. The other point I think to make is that about a third of patients were on a background of SGLT2 inhibitors, and they equally benefited in the same way. So that's a really important message as well.
And this is a rather neglected group of patients, isn't it?
Yeah, I think they're often, I think as Mark and Mikhail have said, we should be picking them up more. We should be looking for them more in our clinics. But we know now we have a safe and effective intervention.
So what's the big message for diabetologists from the cardiologists?
So I think there's two big messages. First of all, please be aware of HFpEF. Please think about it during annual reviews or every interaction with people living with diabetes or obesity. So that's the first thing. Investigating these people is quite easy. You can do a blood test which can indicate whether or not HFpEF is present, and following on with cardiac imaging. The second very big point is that these drugs have got potentially major benefits across HFpEF and people with obesity. And we are excited as a community, the diabetes community, cardiology community, and also the weight management community, to do large trials with incretin-based therapies to definitively show reductions in hospitalizations, perhaps mortality, and also other endpoints. So basically, this is a springboard to further very large trials in this area.
Mikhail, anything to add there?
Yeah, I will just add a couple of quick things. One is for diabetologists, of course, diabetologists see people with type 2 diabetes, many of whom have obesity, of course. It's so incredibly common. And so if you happen to have a patient who has a combination of diabetes, obesity, and also this type of heart failure, which is very, very common, you have a choice of different medicines you can prescribe. And here you potentially have a choice of medications that's not only going to make diabetes better, is not only going to potentially promote weight loss, but it also has a real potential to help with a debilitating disease such as heart failure. And maybe another facet, so in other words, you have a choice of how to manage diabetes in these types of patients. You essentially get a triple benefit potentially in many people. And then finally, we always talk about the polypharmacy issue, especially in older people with type 2 diabetes. What we saw, in addition to what Melanie mentioned in this study that she's presenting today, is that people who were on semaglutide were less likely to need other glucose-lowering medications, and actually were more likely to have to be able to discontinue other medications for type 2 diabetes. And so you get this extra benefit, if you will, on top of all of this in terms of polypharmacy potentially as well.
A final thought really for you, Mark. Is this something where we should, in the future, and maybe this is a subject for future trials, whether we give these drugs ahead of people developing HFpEF?
So that is one of the number one questions. Preventing heart failure is much preferable from everyone's perspective as opposed to treating it. So yes, and there's major interest in doing that. So I am confident we will see future trials to prevent heart failure in people with obesity and also diabetes as well. So that's a fascinating way to finish.
Well, we look forward to those trials being presented at EASD in the future. And thank you to our guests here. And remember, diabetologists, HFpEF, don't forget it.
Thank you for joining us on the podcast of the European Association for the Study of Diabetes. We hope you enjoyed today's insights. If you did, go ahead and hit subscribe, and you'll always stay up to date with the latest in diabetes research and discoveries. And if you'd like to dive deeper, you can find plenty more information at EASD.org.